Well, look, I'll assume everyone's back. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you grab your coffee. A warm welcome to Sam. Sam, thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. Thanks for giving up your time, both now, obviously, and the thinking you've put into it beforehand. I mean, trying to get us excited about elders meetings, it is a tough ask. Even if we're the strongest advocate of congregationalism and shared plural eldership, I think all of us know that the default setting is not a good one for elders meetings. You know, lasting too long, talking about things that are hard to get excited by. But so we've given you a hard sell, but you are the man for the job. Sam, let me ask you some questions. Tell us about your family.
I have one wife, four children, two girls, two boys. We live.
How old are the kids?
Older than you'd think. 20, 17, 11, and 9 or 10. 9, I think.
Excellent.
You think I'm joking? I honestly don't know if he's 9 or 10. He's in year 5, I know that much. I think that makes him 9 because he hasn't had his birthday yet.
Yeah, brilliant. That's right. They add 5 and they turn that during that school year. That's how I used to work it out. How long have you been at Grace Church Worcester Park, and what were you doing prior to that?
I've been at Grace Church probably 4 years. Is it 4 years? Yeah, senior pastor only for 2.5 or something. We just came as assistant pastor to start. Before that, I was with Africa Inland Mission in Lesotho, Southern Africa. The only reason anyone's heard of Lesotho is because Prince Harry likes going there. And we were running a TEMO team, which probably means nothing to anyone. Where we basically, it's a bit like mission training on the job. So you get a team of, we had a team of single men who were trying to start a church planting initiative amongst shepherds in the highlands of Lesotho. And at the same time studying a sort of missions and mission syllabus. So while they were properly roughing it in perhaps the worst missionary conditions in probably anywhere in the world, my family and I lived in a nice house in a tourist village in South Africa and supported them well from there.
Which part of South Africa were you in? Where were you?
We were right on the border with Lesotho, in a village called Clarens, which it was quite amusing when they announced that we were coming back from the mission field to Grace Church, which has probably a 30% population of South Africans. They said Sam has been roughing it in Clarens, at which point all the South Africans burst out laughing, several of whom had honeymooned in Clarens because it's that nice. So.
I spent 6 months.
You spent 6 months in Clarens?
Yeah.
Wow. Great.
Not on honeymoon.
No. Okay. That's a long honeymoon. Then you know what I'm talking about. It's a nice place. It's half an hour from the border into Lesotho, so it was a good base.
How long were you there for?
We were there for 3.5 years. We'd been another time for another 3 years, and been back in between to go to Bible college and things. So yeah.
Brilliant. Give us the short story of how God brought you to Himself.
The short story is I grew up in a Christian family, always believed, never didn't believe, probably committed my life over cornflakes at the age of 3 every other week for months. We just grew up knowing it, believing it, the rest of history. Thankful to go to a good Bible teaching church in my teenage years particularly. A Christian, which is great.
You are amongst friends, speak freely. We're recording it, but that's for internal purposes only. We don't stick it up on the web. So you can be as free as is appropriate about divulging what your elders' meetings are really like at Grace Church Worcester Park. But before you do, let me pray for you, pray for us. Father, thank you for elders. Thank you for placing us in amongst groups of like-minded men who are wanting to work together for the progress of the gospel in people's lives, in a church family, and in a community. Father, we do pray for Sam. Thank you for the thinking he's done. Help him to engage well with us, for us to provoke and prod him for stuff, but for also for him to stimulate our thinking. We do long, Father, for those meetings to be some of the highlights of our weeks and months as we get together with people who are about the same thing. And we long for those to be meetings of unity and creativity. So help us, we pray, to take what we do here and run with it and think it through and do it better than we ever have before, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So is that over to me?
Amen.
Great. Now, honestly, I have no idea why I've been asked to do this. So I'm not pretending to be an expert, but we do have elders and we have elders meetings, and I have actually thought through quite a lot about elders meetings, because I find pointless meetings pointless. What do we like? What do we enjoy? What do we like? Let's start on the positive. What do we anticipate enjoying?
When you have others who are gifted in different areas to you, so you're able to hand over responsibilities or things that you're just not gifted, like health and safety. It's not my gifting.
Yeah. Great. Frustrations, difficulties?
I think I've been part of elders' meetings that have effectively been ruled by a benign dictator, where the function of the elders is to put a brake on anything that they don't like. And that has felt, you're either bursting someone's balloon or you're nervous because you think, I've got one go at this. And if I can't see what's wrong with this and the unintended consequences, we might have to live with them. So that is one end. That was a real danger. I've also been in elderships where no one's taken the lead. Everything's discussed. So you end up with manipulation or, at the other end of the spectrum, indecision. And I don't like either of them.
Right. Well, we're probably not going to fix much of that, but it's always fun to start with a Q&A about these things. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about then, which I think will address some of those things and a couple of things that came up in our group, is not what elders are. I'm assured that you know very much what an elder is. And if you don't, you'll have plenty of time. Can you see my screen now? You should just say elders meetings. Brilliant. Okay. That's what we've just done. I find most meetings that we set up for things have a reason or a purpose, and it kind of makes sense. So we have, I'm on the wrong page already. Oh, I've lost it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But elders meetings often have no reason or purpose apart from we know we have to have them. And I think that's partly where our problems start. With some of the descriptions we've been having. Elders don't necessarily even know what their role is or what they're meant to be doing. And then we come to a meeting and we're not sure quite what we're meant to be doing at that meeting. Whereas other meetings, Sunday services, home group leaders training, Sunday school leaders meetings, we kind of know what we're doing and they're there to fit a purpose. So I think our elders meetings need a purpose. And what I'm going to do is run through roughly what we do at Grace Church, not because it's the only or best model by any stretch of the imagination, but because I wanted to want to show you that you need to think through working out what's going to be productive and useful and biblical for your situation, your church plant, for your elders and meeting together. And I've also deliberately I'm talking about meeting structures. Because I think we often think there is that one big elders meeting where everything has to be to get done. And I've tried to move a bit away from that, because in reality, you then almost get nothing done. And you don't actually get the important stuff done at those meetings because you're too busy dealing with business or some crisis or whatever it might be. So I'll send this out to you afterwards so you can all see it. I think you need a structure of meetings that you believe to be biblical. I'm not going to tell you the answers, but you can do some work on that. that serves your church's vision. And I think that's crucial. There's no point having meetings if they're not serving what you're doing, what you've decided as your vision for your church. You may not even have a vision and goals and aims and strategy for your plants if it's early stages, but at some point you're going to have to develop those. And so your elder structure has got to match that. And I also think that it's got to help you and not hinder you. So there's no point having meetings that just stop you being able to do anything. You've got to set up a structure that works and helps you. That doesn't mean you're going to enjoy every meeting. That doesn't mean no one ever stops you and no one ever puts the brakes on, as Perk said. But it does mean that those are helpful occasions when they're stopping or slowing or changing, and they're helpful in progressing. So let me show you. I can probably drop this in the chat, actually. I'm going to drop that document that is pointed out on the screen in the chat somehow. Can I do that while I'm sharing? Not sure I can. Oh, yes, I can. Here we go. I'm going to send it just to Sergey again. He's my favorite. Okay, here we go. You should have that. So if you open that up, this is basically a document we worked on at an Elders Away Day. And I think it's probably a useful thing for you to think through generally at your churches anyway, over what the role of an elder is. And the reason this is helpful is because from this, you can then establish what kind of meeting strategy and structure you want in place to make sure elders are able to fulfill their roles. So you've got a vision for what you're trying to do as an eldership, and then you're able to do it. So on that document, you can structure this any way you like and reach all sorts of conclusions from the Bible, but this was helpful for us. So we ended up saying that elders are shepherds, so they're responsible effectively for pastoring, teaching, caring, those sort of things. We said they are overseers, so they are responsible for sort of the business and oversight and management of things as well. And then we said they're servants, so they do need to be praying for and serving the church in love. And we said they're human, so they actually need a break and think, you know, they're not always going to get everything right. So don't worry about that document, but feel free to keep it if it's of any use. What I wanted to demonstrate is that you've got to do something like that so that you can then work out a structure. Now, what we have at Grace Church, we have what we just call elders meetings, where effectively what I'd like them to be, and we're getting there, is the point where we just do spiritual, relational, shepherding type work. I'll go through each of these in a minute, so don't worry. The second one, we have what we call ministry strategy meetings, which have an elder on each one, but not exclusively elders. But at that's where we're doing our kind of thinking and strategy and working through what we're doing. So I've separated that out from the elders meetings. Other churches, I think, separate elders meetings into pastoral or shepherding and business. And that may be a model that works as well. I struggle to separate business from the elders meetings, because you end up then having two big meetings, whereas this way around we can deal with shepherding and business in the elders meetings and strategy and stuff in the other one. Anyway, I'll come on to that. Third thing we do is we have elders prayer meetings, and I think it's easy to forget we need to pray, and if you have a separate prayer meeting, it doesn't get taken up with business. We do some deliberate social or fellowship type stuff. And then we also have an annual away day. And those, to some extent, reflect what we think an elder should be doing. And that's why I showed you that other document before. As I said, I'll send this all out to you so you can see it later. So let me go through quickly those four or five meeting types, and then we'll end with sort of Q&A so you can ask questions about anything. So we used to have monthly elders meetings, which covered everything, didn't really get much done. So what we did is started the ministry strategy meetings, which I'll come on to, and then we halved the number of elders meetings because we recognized that we weren't needing to have as many elders meetings because we were doing the stuff in other meetings. So every other month, we have a 2-hour or sometimes 3.5-hour elders meeting. Just be prepared, they tend to run long. And these are the things we do at ours. And so I'm gonna cover them briefly. We do a Bible reflection that feeds prayer and the meeting. I think this is crucial, and a lot of meetings we leave prayer to the end and then it doesn't get done. I make quite an effort to try and get our elders to pray at the beginning of meetings, because for two reasons. One, I think it helps us focus what we're trying to do. We're trying to glorify God, serve him, serve and love his people. And so actually thinking through something from the Bible and praying about that focuses our attention in the right places, and also hopefully humbles us before him and gets us ready to interact appropriately. It also means we get to pray at the beginning, and it tends to mean the prayers are slightly more God focused than us focused. Both are important, but we found that quite helpful. So I'll put that there. And then at that meeting, the kind of things we're looking to do is to discuss cultural or theological issues. So that kind of shepherding side of things, we want to make more of an effort of. And I think they're the first things that start disappearing from our elders' meetings, even though it's probably the most important, because we're too busy doing business or planning an evangelistic event. So that's what we do. I've put the next two, preaching plans and feedback on Bible teaching, in with a question mark at the end, because that's where I want to get, but I don't think we're there yet. And this is quite a hard one, I think, because if you've, as Andy was sharing in our group, if you've got elder preachers and that's kind of the expectation, then I think this can work really well, because all your elders are involved in sort of fairly regular preaching from the front and are able to get a sense of the sort of spiritual direction or needs of the congregation and help the main preaching pastor with this. But in reality, in our sort of context, most our elders are quite busy, sort of more businessmen, or they're not so much involved in the teaching side of things. And so it's quite hard to get helpful preaching planning advice and feedback from Bible teaching from them. But I do think it's a key-ish role for an elder, but again, I'm not going to go into what elders are. So we're working on that. But that's hopefully we freed up space to do it, even if it's not really happening yet. We do discuss sort of big or top level issues, so sort of business, staffing, venues, money and things. But we've got a bit of time to do that because we've moved out all the kind of event planning side of things. We communicate plans and things like that. And we have oversight of those other meetings, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So rather than be directly sort of micromanaging or be involved in everything, we've just got a touch of oversight. And that, in reality, that happens by having some highlighted minutes from those strategy meetings at those elders meetings. So again, don't worry too much about all that at the moment. I'm just running through it. Some practical things, though, I think that work really well for elders meetings are the following. I always set an agenda and I always try and get it out several days or a week in advance. That saves you so much time in the meeting, you would not believe. So rather than everything being brand new to everyone who sits down to a meeting and then everyone's thinking, no one's had time to think about it or pray about it, so get the material out in advance. A week is ideal, not more than that, because then people forget and don't bother. But a few days at least is really important, I think. The other thing I do is have pre-meeting conversations and troubleshoot. This is not me manipulating the meeting so that I get what I want when it happens, but it's my attempts to bring people alongside my thinking or planning or thoughts because I've anticipated through getting to know the elders what their objections are going to be or what their concerns are going to be. And so again, this really helps in the meeting if people have had an opportunity to think through it. It helps you as well, actually, if you've talked to your elders in advance, because you've had a more chance to think through things. So I'll often meet with an elder, go for a walk or have a chat and just say, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? What are your concerns? And then you'll normally find that once they've understood your reasoning behind things, they're alongside. Now, you might do that with someone you know is going to support you so that you can understand how they would sell it, as it were. You might do it with someone you know is going to object to the way forward so that you can talk it through with them. There's no rules. I'm just saying the more you do that, and it helps your eldership function, I think, as a body, rather than just reacting at one meeting where you don't know what's going to happen. Everyone's just off the cuff remarks and not haven't had a chance to think it through. So I think that's quite helpful. I've said start with prayer. There won't be time at the end. I've explained that already. I do think that's important. The other thing we do is a traffic light system. And I think this is also really helpful for managing those meetings and managing the expectations of the people in your meeting. Let me just hang on. So if you look to the agenda items column, you'll see some are orange, some are green, and sometimes some are red. We'll come back to that. I just wanted to demonstrate what we literally do on the agenda. The reason I do that is so that people know what they're expecting, what their expected input is into those things. So, you know, you don't need to talk about till the cows come home everything. You know, if you've decided that you're going to say a short prayer before the reading each Sunday, I doubt it requires a 20-minute elders discussion. But if you put it on your elders' agenda, it will happen. But if you feel they should at least know about it, I stick it on as a green item, and then they know it's just for their information. And unless they've got a real objection or concern about it, they're not going to say anything. If they do, the opportunity is there. But in reality, they understand what's going on. Yellow, amber items are normally things that just need a bit of discussion or a bit more input. And then red about kind of the big ones, the things that you haven't got a way forward or you need to think through. You can design your own, you can chuck that in the bin if you like. I just found it a very helpful, particularly for elders meetings, because they're the ones where you're doing all sorts of different things. You're making big decisions that require deep conversation. You've got to keep them updated with some of the lighter changes going on. You've got to keep them informed of things. So we found that really helpful, and the elders love it as well. They know what they're expected of them in each topic when they get to the meetings. Next practical advice: people think and speak at different paces. Some elders will talk and talk and talk. Others won't say a thing but have really beneficial stuff to say. So I don't have any great wisdom in how to help that, other than to say that's why getting stuff out ahead of the meeting really helps the thinkers to get through stuff. And some of those pre-meeting discussions help the people who are going to talk a lot not to say so much if they understand what's going on. So you just need to be aware of that and make sure you're valuing those that don't speak up in the actual meetings. And some will not keep up with the conversations and need to process, and they'll come back to you a day or two later and say, now I'm concerned. If you think that's happening, I'll often say, great, well, it sounds like we're going to do this, but you've got till the end of the week to send me an email if you want to talk about it again or raise it. So it just gives other people chances to say things if they're not so quick on thinking on their feet. I have put make a decision or at least a plan to reach one. Elders meetings, in my experience, used to never reach conclusions. We'd just talk all day. So just make the effort to make a decision, vote on it. Make a decision, or if it's a genuine sort of split and no one's sure, just decide on a way forward. That might be, right, why don't you two go away and talk about this and come back with a decision to the next meeting, and we'll sign it off unless there's more to discuss. But so actually make a point of reaching decisions. And then the final one I've just put is behave like Jesus and encourage others to do the same. It's very easy to get massively demotivated and feel like you've been shot down by your elders when they're probably just trying to be helpful. So you need to be humble and swallow your pride. And you also just need to be gentle with them as well. So I think that speaks for itself. But you can use the kind of temperament of the elders at that, whatever season we're in, to sometimes direct what I'll speak on at the beginning of the meeting. To help us reflect. So if everyone's really angst that we're being locked down again for another 3 months, we'll think about the blessings we've got in Christ, or how remaining humble and serving at love. Yeah. But if everyone's on top of the moon and just gung ho, then we might use it for something else. So anyway, lots of talking. Let me carry on. These are our second type of meetings we have. These are on the alternate months, and we call them ministry strategy meetings. You don't need to worry about that diagram. This is just how we divide up our ministries as a church. It's pretty much based on Trellis and Vine. I don't think this will be new to anyone, given the kind of course you're doing. But that's how we divide it up. We then have a little team who's responsible for each of those areas. So engage, evangelize, establish, equip, and list. And we assign one elder to each of those ministry streams. Now, if you're smaller, you've not got five elders, or you've got 15, how many did Dan Donald have? They have about 23 ministry streams, I think. Then you might have to assign elders to more than one. But that's what we do. Now, this is why we do it. It massively frees up your elders from feeling like they all have to be doing everything, which is, I think, one of the problems with elders meetings. Everyone feels they've got to be involved in doing and signing off and deciding on absolutely everything in the church. So that's one brilliant reason for dividing up your ministries and assigning elders to each one. Secondly, it allows gifting to be utilized. So I think someone mentioned earlier, you know, if someone's brilliant at discipling, but you know, frankly, puts any non-Christian off the moment they open their mouth, then don't put them in the evangelism team. And they're probably more than happy with that, because they're going to be much more comfortable helping with an area of ministry they're good at anyway. The third thing is it broadens your opportunities for leadership and your spectrum of leadership, because those teams don't have to be exclusively elders. So we have an elder, a staff member, and we then open it to elders' wives, and other women in the church we think would be really good in these sort of roles. So you get a female perspective into those meetings as well. But there's no rules on that. You're protecting your eldership and your spiritual oversight and control of the church through your elders' meetings. But in terms of when it comes to strategy and planning and events and activities, get the people that are good at it involved with your elders, so that you can benefit from all of that. So that's what we do. You don't have to do it that way, but I'm just telling you what we do. And I think it's been really helpful for us, and it really frees up elders. So now stuff's happening and elders don't know about it. That used to terrify them. Now they can't believe their luck. Stuff's happening and I didn't have to think about it and have a 3-hour meeting about it. This is great. So yeah, this can work on a small scale. So I know some of you are in small churches, but you know, this could just be two or three of you operating a system a bit like this, taking responsibility for different things and then freeing up your elders' meetings for those kind of spiritual oversights and encouragements and making sure no heresy is coming out of your sermons and things. There'll be time for questions, so just note them down, or if you want to shout, do just shout. Thirdly, elders' prayer meetings. We have these once a month. If you can have them more, great, but we found in reality people struggle to get to much more than this. We have them early in the morning, before work. It's been easier. We've actually put it back to 7 during lockdown because people aren't commuting, but we used to get them done before people had to get on a train and go to work. And we alternate, I'm just telling you if it's useful, we alternate between pastoral care prayer meetings and praying through the directory, and the other one just praying for general church life or events and general things. We found that helpful. We invite we have a couple who work specifically on pastoral care as volunteers, and we invite them to the pastoral care meeting with the elders for that. So you can involve, it just means you can involve a bit more breadth if you want to. Yeah, but keep those meetings to time if they're early. Your elders will happily come if they know the timings are kept tight in the morning meetings. I think it's important to pray even when it's hard to get out of bed that early. And I used to have to make coffee and get biscuits and things ready. So there are some great advantages to lockdown. I only have to make my own. Finally, social and fellowship. I think it's worth, you cannot force, I would be the last person to say you can force fellowship and social side to elders, but I would really encourage you just to obviously work on your relationship with your elders, but it's worth getting everyone together at least once or twice a year, because it just helps getting everyone together. We encourage wives to come as well. We organize babysitters, helps if you have teenage children to farm out. So we have a summer garden braai. That's a barbecue if you don't have too many South Africans in your church. And Cube Championships. If you haven't played Cubes, Google it. It is amazing. And all you need is a smallish garden and a bit, some bits of wood. It's such a fun game, mainly because I win every year. And if you need more inspiration, it potentially derived from a Viking game where they used to use skulls and thigh bones of their prey to play this game to decide disputes. So it's properly good. And then we have a Christmas meal. I just encourage you to do something to getting everyone together completely socially rather than for meetings. Finally, we do an away day. I think most churches do some kind of an away day or a weekend, some churches do. It may depend on how busy your elders are and things. But it is a really useful day because it gives you a big chunk of time to get through a big topic or something that's coming up naturally. Or, you know, so we did that elders document. That was an away day for us. We worked through the whole day going through Bible passages and talking and debating. And then a couple of us went away and drew up that document from the back of it. So it's a really useful thing to do. We've used it also for vision setting and strategy. That strategy document came out of it as well. So it's a useful thing to do. Have a nice lunch, have good snacks, always helps. But that's just my way of thinking. Let me finish quickly with just some other practical things that kind of fit across most elder type meetings. In fact, probably lots of things, but I found planning a year ahead, that sounds ridiculous. I am genuinely the most disorganized person in the universe. If you're like me, you need to read Tim Challey's book called, I can't even remember the name of it. I'll send a link out. It's such a good book for getting organized. I follow it to the T. But anyway, plan a year ahead your meetings. It's not hard. Just plan out all those meetings, whatever your strategy is, go through the diary and line them all up. If some move, that's fine, but they get moved rather than never getting created. So I send that out in January every year for the whole year ahead. Everyone knows what's coming up for their ministry stream meetings, the prayer meetings, the elders meetings. It takes a little bit of time to put together, but do more better. Thanks. It's a good book, isn't it? Nod. Yeah, brilliant. Have you read it? No one else can see you. Maybe I'm talking to, sorry, Perks is holding up the book that we're looking at. It's a really short book. It's brilliant. Secondly, encourage input from your elders into the agendas. There's nothing worse than trying to make up random things to fill an agenda when the elders have got one or two things they've been mulling over anyway. So just encourage that. I'll show you how I do it in a second. Invite other people to meetings. It's so helpful just having different people pop in and out of your elders' meetings here and there. It might be a children's worker, might be a pastoral care worker, it might be someone in the congregation who's come to faith and wants to, you know, thank the elders. It seems unlikely. So just get other people involved, but it sort of changes the atmosphere. It makes us feel more like a body of Christ. Get someone else to take the minutes. I mean, unless you love taking minutes while you're trying to chair a meeting, just ask someone else to do it. Someone will be good at it, and it releases a lot of pressure off you. I put elders often feel the pressure of the role. So they are human. And while I think you'll often feel like they're having a go or they don't like what you're doing or it's just a battle. But I think in reality, they're just struggling to feel encouraged or feeling the weight of responsibility as being an elder. So yeah, they also need serving just like, you know, we need serving. And it's not just their role to support us. It's our role as well to lead and support them. So I think it's just worth thinking about that. Even if you find it hard getting on with one or two here and there. Finally, I think we're in an age of where technology can really help with lots of this. Collaborate on stuff. I've put some things we use. Trello, Google Drive is useful for documents, calendars and things, etc. This is the thing I showed you earlier. This is Trello. If you haven't used Trello, it's a bit confusing at first. So you don't have to use it. You can find other things. But this is just an example of how we use something like this for our meetings. So we store all our minutes in the left-hand column. So if you click on those, you can't click on them. But if you click on them in Trello, they'll open up the minutes from the last meeting. The next one's the agenda for the next meeting coming up. And you can cut, as you can see, I've color-coded them with my traffic light system so that people know what's coming. The next one is an elder-suggested agenda item. So after probably 2 months of using this, they knew how it worked. It didn't take long, and they love it because they use all this stuff at work. And normally us sort of ministry types are a bit behind the curve. So they just put stuff in there that they'd like added to the agenda. And then I can review it and talk to them or put it in, whatever. So that works really well. If stuff doesn't get covered, it gets put in the deferred from last meeting and we pick it up at the next meeting. There's a follow-up and actions one, which thankfully there's not much in this month, so I don't have to do much. But you can set targets and dates and all of that if you want to. But that's helpful. And then we just store stuff done but not forgotten. Things we want to discuss in the future, sort of big ideas. You can click on all these cards and there's more details if people put them in. And then we sort of use it as a filing space as well for resource or documents we've been working on recently that people want access to. So you don't have to use Trello. I'm just showing you it's worth spending a bit of time on a bit of tech sometimes and it really helps the elders know what's going on and be engaged. So I just thought I'd put that in there. I think that's it. We've not got much time. I was going to put you in breakout groups and just say, think of some questions. So, but as we've not got much time, why don't we just open up for questions? And if you don't have any, I'll put you in groups to think of some. So, great. Nick?
So for those ministry strategy meetings, those are just for the teams that are overseeing those meetings, right? So they're happening all over the place separately.
Yep.
Do you give them agendas or suggested agendas for that? Or
yeah, so in our situation, there's a pastor in each one. So we set the agenda. But again, we do a shared agenda list. So anyone on that team can input into the agenda. You don't normally get many people adding stuff, but it is just helpful. The whole point of those sort of teams is that you get collaborative kind of ideas and work. So, but normally it's the staff member who does that, but it's someone on the team. It's not me. So I don't go to the evangelism or the engaged ministry meetings at all, unless I'm asked to. So it's brilliant. And stuff happens that I don't even know about.
Sam, could you say a little more about those ministry strategy meetings? And I can see like ministry teams that are running this club have some decisions to make and kind of elder decisions, but this seems to sit between. So what are the decisions that would fall into those ministry strategy meetings, and how are they different from what elders would decide or the people actually running the meeting?
That's the semi-impossible question to answer. The reason I think this is why we have an elder in each of those teams is to sort of avoid that sort of problem. So we've got to trust each other as elders to be able to make decisions and do things. And that has been a slight kind of change in thinking, because before everybody felt they had to be involved in everything. But it just means not much gets done, or you talk about it all the time. So those teams are fairly powerful in making decisions, but they do have to just run highlight, what we call them, highlighted minutes. So they take minutes from their meetings, but they have to report a highlighted minutes to the elders. And that's available actually on Trello. The highlighted minutes come up on there, and then any elder can check or look in on them. And that's why, I mean, the elders meetings remain a bit of oversight. But for example, if the evangelism team decide to run a mission in February and they're going to invite a speaker, I personally think if there's an elder involved in that and a staff member and a team making that decision, great, brilliant, go with it. And the elder, it's not going to be a secret. The elders will find out as a whole. They ought to be reported to anyway, and they can overrule or raise concerns. But in reality, it doesn't happen because they're thrilled. You know, these things are happening. They're not having to be involved. You know, we're not talking. Yeah. So I think it generally works. And ought to get, so you have to work out your communication strategy, but it's rare, I think, you'll come across issues where they're not happy with what's going on. Is that
Thank you.
Sort of helpful?
Yeah, thanks.
But yeah, empower those groups, I reckon. Rick?
Just time for...
This is where Rick says, Sam, none of this happens at Grace Church. I was there for years.
No, thank you. No, it's great to just hear all your thinking and the background stuff. It's really helpful. I love the way, just the planning, the organisation. I think we're trying to do it here to get some sort of, you know, rhythm and whatnot. And, we live in unprecedented times at the moment. But just how do you allow for, you know, crisis and whatnot? So, you know, it could be like you've planned 6 months ahead. Yeah, we've got a budget meeting here, strategy meeting here, this meeting here. And then, you know, because I found the last couple of months, stuff just lands on your desk and then you're having to manage a crisis. And then that just gets deferred. Flex, just wisdom on how you build in time to deal with things that will, you know, bombs that will be dropped.
Yeah, I assume you're meaning things that are kind of elder level or require sort of elder input and things.
Yeah.
So I don't set the agendas for any of those meetings until a week before. In a sense of setting the dates in the diary probably won't matter either way. But we do have a 2 month gap between each proper sort of spiritual elders meetings, and that's sometimes too long. It hasn't actually happened, but I can see it could be. So we have a WhatsApp group as elders where if there's urgent decisions or things to be made, I just run it through there. I really try not to open up discussion on WhatsApp. It's frankly pointless. So I will tell people what's happened and what I would like to do and give them a deadline for when they need to get back to me if they're uncomfortable with that. It gives you an opportunity to make decisions in a crisis without having to have a massive discussion. If you haven't got a clue what to do, then I will put on that group saying, look, this has happened. I really don't know what to do, who's around, or what people's availability, and we'll just have a quick meeting about it on Zoom or something. So I don't think it affects that annual plan. The annual planning thing is just to make sure the meetings happen. If it's just elders meetings, it's fairly easy to make that happen. But once you start thinking through using those elders meetings more strategically, so having ministry strategies and prayer meetings, it's quite a lot of different types of meetings, even if there aren't more per year. So I just put them in place to make sure it happens. And then, is that sort of helpful?
It's very helpful, thank you.
Rob.
Thanks, it's been really, really helpful for me as well. I'm like you, I'm really disorganized.
Get the book, that's much better than me.
And I married someone who's also disorganized, so it's kind of a bit of a nightmare, really. I was just wondering in terms of how it lands with the people in the congregation. Because one of the things I'm aware of, particularly at the moment, but particularly because we're a small church, is that people can be burnt out. They can feel like there's too many things on the calendar, too many nights out in the week. I'm just thinking of how it lands in terms of if the ministry strategy group teams are making decisions about the mission being in February, and you might think, gosh, I've got three other things that I'm going to be inviting people to come to in February. February's not the right time, you know. How do you avoid, did you have a sense in which you feel like you can feel how stretched people are and how kind of busy the calendar is, and try to distribute things out across the year? Because your people are quite busy, aren't they? They're all like working in the city as well. So, you know, later.
So a couple of things to say. One is each ministry team is, in a sense, working with different people. So it's not so crucial if there's a bit of overlap. So Engage are not putting on an event but the problem is where your congregation members are inviting someone to an Engage something, and they're trying to go to an equipping thing where they're learning to be a home group leader or whatever it might be. So this is not an elders meeting, which is why I didn't cover it. We also have an annual, I can't remember what we call it, it's like the big plan or something, where we get a rep from each ministry team and from the women's ministry team and men's ministry team and the missions committee, anyone that does anything in the church. And for a couple of hours, we do it once every 6 months and make sure that the calendar is roughly a year ahead. And we just go through all of these things and just stick them all. I print out a big calendar a month on a page, and we have different colored post-it notes and we all go crazy. And then we literally just debate for different dates. Oh, but we needed a home group leaders meeting there. We've got this here. Well, let's put that there, and literally just move everything around. And then someone takes it away and puts it all on. And it just, it sounds ridiculous, but it actually works. So that's something else I would do. So then the evangelism team would know, they'd have access to the church calendar once that's all stuck up on Google. And they could see that. They'd have probably been at the meeting and hopefully said, we're hoping to have a mission or, so yeah, that's roughly how we make sure it's not overburdened. We also keep all of these meetings happen on all these sort of business strategy elder, everything happens on a Monday night. So you can never have two things on a Monday unless they're completely different teams. So we might have an engage and equip ministry meeting the same Monday, but it doesn't make any difference because different people in each one. And then the rest of the week's free for other stuff.
Sam, can I ask a quick question? Post-COVID, where we're all allowed to meet again, how many of these meetings do you think you will keep online?
Other than, I don't know, ideally none. I think we've missed, it just doesn't feel the same online. There are real advantages. So we maybe the elders prayer meeting, we actually pray more because there's no chat, because it's difficult to chat. So maybe if it's beneficial, but you do lose the sort of personal touch. You can't turn up with a bottle of wine to an elders meeting on Zoom. Not that I'm recommending that, but occasionally it helps. You can't have an away day with cookies and a nice pub lunch if you're on Zoom. So, and all of that side is, I think we're losing that kind of fellowship social side to things, which is more important than we realize. So probably not many, but that's just personal. It will probably be a mix, but yeah, not many.
Thanks.
Any more questions? I think we're all time for
one more. Otherwise, I think we want to express our thanks. Sam, that is brilliant. I mean, really helpful. I think you've allowed us to peer behind the curtain of what certainly appears to be, and at this point it's probably good that Ricky's not in the room, a well-run church.
I'm good at impressions.
I think you are characteristically humble and have understated just how accomplished you are in the execution of a variety of meetings, keeping people on board and informed. And I suspect some of us on here will be somewhat overwhelmed by what you said, but I think it's really helpful and lots that looks manageable. Hugely helpful, stimulating, absolutely brilliant. And we're very, very grateful. Thanks for your time. Let me close in prayer. Let me pray. Father, we, in one sense, don't want to just cut and paste what Sam has done. We do want to be the kind of people that think about what we need to do, given where we are and what we're trying to do and who we have at our disposal. But we do pray, Father, you'd help us as we think through when we ought to meet and how we ought to meet and what kind of things we ought to do within them. And we pray, Father, that our either obsession with organisation or our hatred of organisation would not be, in one sense, the stick in the spoke that causes the church plant just to go completely pear-shaped. We pray, Father, that good meetings and organisation would facilitate the advancement of your mission. And we pray that our disorganisation would not be the thing that frustrates it in any way. Father, thank you for Sam. Thank you for Grace Church Worcester Park. We pray that those elders will be able to meet together in person as soon as possible, enjoy each other's company, keep them united. Pray particularly that the ministry strategy teams would love working together, that there'd be those would be well coordinated, and actually there'd be an expansion and a multiplication of ministry, because not every elder needs to be involved in every decision, right? The liberation, the giving away, the delegation of that kind of stuff will be will help grow their ministry engine. Father, we pray that in the months and years to come, people will be converted as a result of decisions that are being made in elders' meetings. And we ask this in Jesus' name. We ask it for his glory. Amen.
Amen.